Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week we're going to get scared by we were scared this week, and then we'll talk about getting scared with Evil Dead, Jurassic Park 3D, Family Weekend, plus a couple DVDs and Blu-rays, and some movie news as well.
A little bit
of movie news.
Yeah, not a lot going on this week.
It's
been kind of quiet.
I was sick this week.
I've been sick for 2 weeks.
I blame you and your petri dish of a
daughter. Blame me. I actually still am blaming your kid for this one.
When?
It was like 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
He came here and was a bundle of like
germs.
And, you know, sometimes it's not just my kid.
It's always your kid.
No.
I blame your kid for everything. Your kid, I mean, you know, any, you know, problem, you know, terrorism.
Mm.
Your kid, you know, Ebola. Even though it happened years before your child was born, it's her fault.
I got it.
Yeah.
Moving right along.
You know, the fact that Michael Bay's still making movies.
My kid's fault.
The success of the Twilight franchise. All your child's fault. So anyways, let's talk a little bit.
Just wait till she's a teenager.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to love that. I can't wait. I'm just watching. You're like going, oh my God, she's not even one yet. And I'm like, oh, just wait. It doesn't slow down until they're two and then or three and then... Then it's bad when they get to be teenagers.
Which you don't even know yet either.
No, but I see it coming. They start to smell. You know the cute baby smell? I mean, not when they...
Yeah, that goes away.
Not when they crap themselves. But, the cute baby smell, it is not a cute teenager smell. It's not even a cute 11-year-old smell. They got big feet and nasty toenails.
Poor Liam. He's not listening, is he?
I don't let Liam listen to the show.
Good.
I don't let my kids listen to the show because, you know, this is only for mature audiences or immature
audiences.
Let's talk a little bit about the box office. Let's roll right into that and whether or not we were correct. Here's the thing. We were kind of split on this because I said G.I. Joe at $35 million. You said G.I. Joe at $45 million. It came in at 40 million, actually a little bit above.
It was 40.5, so I'm taking the win on this one.
I was just truncating. I noticed how you looked, or you checked those box out. You're like, wait a minute.
Like, hey, that's not fair.
Technically, from a statistic standpoint, I should have rounded it up to 41.
It's true.
And you busted me on that. So.
Uh-huh.
But according to Price is Right, you went over, so I'm declaring victory yet again. I'm going to be like Saddam Hussein declaring victory in presidential elections.
Oh, I know.
You know, it's just no matter
what. This happens every week. I am getting used to it.
Well, you know,
it doesn't matter how wrong you are. You always claim victory. So that's fine. It's
worked for me so far.
It's how this show works.
Talk
and,
to my wife.
You know, I'm used to it.
But that was good. It didn't do as well as the original, but it is at 40 million. They've already greenlit the third movie.
Yay.
Somehow Channing Tatum will be back, I'm pretty sure.
I sure hope so. Because really what that movie needed was a little bit of Channing Tatum.
It had a little bit of Channing Tatum.
A little bit more Channing Tatum.
It needed a little bit of more coherent Channing Tatum and not these obvious, oh, we need to put more Channing Tatum
right
in, so let's put in some reshoots.
It could also use some cowbell.
And more cowbell.
Mm-hmm.
I got a fever.
Yeah.
I blame your child. But, you know, maybe we'll use a cowbell and clean that up. The Croods came in second with $27 million, holding on decently. Then Tyler Perry's Temptation was at 22, which was really overperforming.
That's surprising.
Well, and that's for his dramas.
But, you know, it's Kim Kardashian.
I know.
Anybody will go and see Kim Kardashian in anything.
I don't know if that's true.
I don't know. She has a pretty famous tape out there.
I've seen her first film.
Have seen,
let's
and,
just say.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard a lot of people have, so.
Yeah. It's underwhelming. That's the problem with those kind of things.
It's Kim Kardashian.
Well, I mean, even
is there anything about her that isn't underwhelming?
Well, I mean, her caboose is hugely overwhelming.
It's true.
I mean, she,
you do
like,
have a point there.
There's also then Olympus Has Fallen had $14 million. Oz the Great and Powerful at $12 million. The Host made a measly $11 million. It bombed.
That is what they get for not marketing it at all.
Yeah. Did they not market it?
Yeah.
I couldn't escape it.
They did a little bit, but they didn't show it to anybody.
Well, they didn't. Yeah, that's so true. They didn't screen it for anyone. Open room. I think they did. There may have been like really top tier
markets. New York and L.A. got a screening.
Yeah, but as I understand, like, it was either the New York or it was either, it may have been San Francisco, but it was somebody had to choose, they had their G.I. Joe and their host screenings on the same night.
So what you're saying is nobody went to see the host.
Nobody went and saw the host. I went and saw the host, and oh my God, it was awful. You think it's going to be bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It's worse. It's bad. It's got the Stephanie Meyer is the queen of really stupid voiceover.
Nice.
Because it's the whole thing is the alien like takes over Saoirse Ronan's character's body, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you have her inner monologue in there as well, and they talk to each other.
Nice. And so the entire thing is a dialogue between the same person.
A good chunk of it, but it does have these really, I mean, just like. These OMG moments of terrible, terrible writing. It is, and the thing is, and I said this in my review when I actually went and saw it and I wrote a review. I said the most disappointing thing about this is it has such great potential because it's a classic story. It's Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Mm-hmm. And that's a fantastic story. This one is not a fantastically executed story. It is dumbed down to the point of just idiocy.
And now you understand why I didn't read the book.
I wish you would have, because the book is like 3 inches thick.
It is. It's huge.
I commission you to read the book. Mm. Can you do it by next week?
No.
Oh. It's going to be out of theaters by next week. anyway, so yeah, that movie sucked, by the way. Then it goes down with the rest of the call and Mission, Spring Breakers. Incredible Burt Wonderstone is still eking in there. G.I. Joe opened with $80 million overseas, which is probably more about why it got greenlit for.
Oh, yeah. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. You know, overseas, these things go like gangbusters.
What I love is, you know, like 10, 20 years ago, people would be like, I like foreign films and because they're smarter than American films. And these sort of things with Michael Bay and this G.I. Joe stuff, it just proves that
all the people in France are sending their, you know, crappy foreign films that don't make any sense over to us so that, you know, all the pretentious people here can watch them.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I'm going to go see G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like these movies prove that people, not just Americans, but people in general,
like
are
crappy
idiots.
Action movies.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, more
it's
of
not
this
just
is
us.
Yeah.
We're not the only stupid ones.
We're not the they're like, let's send it to China because there's a bunch of idiots in China. There's a billion idiots in China. That's three times as many idiots than we have here in the States. We need to not make the Chinese the bad guys. We're making North Koreans the bad guys from now on, ever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because we don't care about
North
Koreans.
Do North Koreans not watch movies?
Kim Jong-il watched movies, but I don't know if they're allowed to watch movies. But it's a much smaller nation.
It's true.
They're communistic. You know, they're just like, you know, from political standpoint, they're pretty much the Chinese. It's just
true.
You can't say Chinese because that's a billion
they're just
idiots.
Chinese junior.
Yeah. Mm. And that's not me calling Chinese people idiots. I'm just calling the human race idiots.
Yeah.
Because we're supporting movies like G.I. Joe Retaliation to a ridiculous amount. Anyways, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. If you want to email us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. We haven't gotten one of them in a while, so get with the program, people. Go to fatguysatthemovies.com or facebook.com/FGATM. You can reach me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm Katie K. Reviews, and you can find me at nightsandweekends.com and realdiscovery.org.
Excellent. We burned through a much of this segment talking about how awful, bad, shamefully awful the host was. But we can...
Which is okay, because there's not much else to talk about.
Yeah,
really.
We can squeeze in a little bit of news. There's two Disney stories. First one is Disney has shut down LucasArts, which is their video games.
Yep.
And this has caused a lot of consternation among people. I'm not surprised. What's your take on Disney kind of just shutting things down? Like, they shut down...
Why not?
Why not?
You know?
We should. Let's get rid of that!
You know, Disney's like Pac-Man. Disney's just taking things or chomping, and, you know, it just becomes a part of the big Pac-Man.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Lego to get its license pulled.
Mm.
And I don't know, see, because...
That would be no good.
Here's my observation on this. Disney, as great as it is that they're running the Star Wars thing now, because I think they know what they're doing... They're doing exactly what they did with Marvel. They're shutting down stuff that they don't have full control over and that they didn't originate, and they're streamlining the process.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that without, you know, these are the eggs that are being broken to make this omelet.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they take this. I mean, Disney has their own video game companies.
Exactly.
And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll be curious to see if any of the people get moved over. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk Evil Dead, Jurassic Park, and Family Week.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Yeah. We were just talking about how stupid people in this world are.
Yes.
Just generally, in all nations.
Yeah.
Overall. And so...
In case you missed it.
Yeah. In case you missed it...
We've offended everybody in the world.
We have insulted the entire world.
Thank you.
Because really, what would this show be without insulting people? And you know, we might as well just go for it. If we're going to insult a few people, we might as well just insult them all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, you're acerbic today. I even showered. I actually do. I shower every week, whether I need it or not.
Whether you need it or not, just when we record the show.
Because the magical studio in the sky is extremely small.
And sweaty.
Speaking of sweaty and bodily fluids and all that good stuff, let's talk about the movies this week. The first movie we're going to talk about is Evil Dead. Five friends head to a remote cabin in the woods only to unleash brutal, violent demons. Oops.
They released something from that book. Something evil. This thing is attached to Mia's soul. We're gonna have to kill her.
You're all going to die tonight.
There you have it.
Were you a fan of the original Evil Dead movies?
I was.
You were. Okay. Yeah. You had to pause there for a while. You had to think.
I'm not entirely sure that I saw the first one, though.
Okay.
And that is, you know...
Were you really drunk at the time?
The most... It's been a long time. The movie came out 30 years ago. Come on.
That's true.
So, yeah, I'm not entirely sure that I saw the first one. I did see Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness.
Okay.
And I enjoyed both of those.
Okay.
But I know that the original Evil Dead was a lot more hardcore horror.
Yeah, it was...
And I'm trying to remember if I've seen it.
The original... Well, see, and it is... It gets confusing because basically the first 10, 15 minutes of Evil Dead 2 is sort of a reworked version of the first movie with, like, fewer cast members.
Exactly.
Either that or it's the dumbest guy in the world bringing another date to the same cabin and unleashing demons again.
There you go.
So one of the two. Sam Raimi did them and, of course, was very campy, and he homaged the Three Stooges and all that kind of thing.
It was wacky and kooky and fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
The first one is more straightforward, but it does have that slapstick behind it. And it does come across as a horror comedy now, to the point that an investor actually yelled at Raimi during the premiere, saying afterwards, he's like, you said you were making a horror film, not a comedy. And Sam Raimi's like, oh, I'm sorry. You know. Mm. What do you think of Evil Dead? The remake.
It's a tough thing to... You know,
okay.
It's tough. I know that I'm supposed to be falling all over this movie.
Well, you're not supposed to.
Everybody is.
Do whatever you want.
It's one of those things. Everybody is falling all over it. And if you like gore, this is your movie. I mean, there is more blood in this movie than any movie you will see all year or perhaps this decade. Maybe this century.
The bloodiest
There's
movie...
There's a lot of blood in this movie.
Let me put it in perspective. I remember I saw Stuart Gordon give a talk once, and he said when he did the movie Reanimator, he used five drums of blood, of stage blood for that. And there are 50-gallon, and he did five of them. And he was introducing Brain Dead, or Dead Alive, which is Peter Jackson's zombie movie. And I remember he introduced it by saying he found out that Peter Jackson used 50 of these drums.
Nice.
I believe there's more blood in Evil Dead than Dead Alive.
Easily.
Especially, I mean, at one point it's literally flowing everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, like, even like the scene in The Shining where the blood comes down the elevator.
That's nothing.
Nothing.
No.
No.
This is the bloodiest movie you will ever see, probably.
It is gory and grisly and goopy and slimy. And I have to say, I kind of loved it.
I know you did, and I didn't. I just... Okay, I get the blood. And I just don't care about that part. Mm. I need to have some kind of a story. And this thing is the biggest pile of cliches.
Well, but it's all from the original.
Still.
Except some. They make some changes.
You walk in... Okay, it's a cabin in the woods. Mm-hmm. It's run down and creepy.
Yeah.
Anybody who has ever seen a scary movie is going to pull up to that and go, I'm not staying here.
The best part is when they actually, like, summon the demons. You get the crowd's going, what are you doing? Stop
exactly.
It!
I mean, these characters go out of their way to be as stupid as humanly possible.
But see, if you had a movie, if you had a horror movie with smart people, it'd be like 11 minutes long.
Yeah. But you can do stuff with it to make it a little smarter.
But they made a change. The one thing they did is one of the characters who's basically... The characters aren't... There's not a one-to-one comparison.
No.
With all the characters from the original. Because there's no real Ash
right.
character. I mean, they... what's her name? Jane Levy, who plays... She kind of plays an amalgamation of both Ash and Cheryl from the original.
Mm-hmm.
And she... Her character's a drug addict, and they're... going there to dry her out, to go through detox. And while I kind of like that angle to it, which is not from the original movie, mm-hmm. because it gives them a reason to be like, even though she's seeing crazy stuff and claiming this happening, to me that actually gave an excuse for why they didn't believe her.
But here's the thing. I don't care how much you care about your friend's sobriety. If you go into the basement and there are a bunch of charred cats hanging from the ceiling, you're getting out of there.
I've been in your basement. And you have lots of charred cats in there.
Well, there's that, but there's a reason for that.
It's for science. It's for charity.
Science.
Here's the thing. It's not that I love gore, and I don't like the gore for the sake of gore. I like the fact that they took what had evolved into a completely campy, ridiculous, silly fest.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the Evil Dead movies for that. But I like the fact that they said, no, let's give this a good, solid horror movie treatment. And
sure.
And they said, let's do a solid horror movie. And yes, they're going to be stupid people. And yes, we're going to kind of go out of our way to put the 1973 Oldsmobile in there. We're going to go out of the way to put the little charm on the necklace. We're going to have these beats that you've seen in the first movies. And the characters are going to be dumb as dumb can be.
There are things that you can do, though, to make characters a little less idiotic.
But...
I mean, there are horror movies that actually... are kind of smart.
Well, I mean, like Cabin in the Woods last year, but that's a takeoff.
Exactly, and that was one of those things that I kept waiting for something to happen. I kept waiting for a twist,
mm-hmm.
for something to change it up.
Yeah,
and it just never comes.
But
like,
I don't think they wanted something. I don't think they wanted to change it up. I think they said let's do what the first movie did, but just updated in terms of let's just make it as completely insane as possible,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I loved about it.
I don't know. I have to say, you know, this week. Snoop Lion released a song with Miley Cyrus.
Okay.
That terrified me. This movie did not.
Wow.
It was gross and gory and disgusting, but I wasn't scared at all.
I don't think it needs to scare. I think it just needs to be just shocking.
It's just,
It's pretty shocking.
Meh.
So your final grade?
Kind of sucks.
I say it rocks. All right, we got to do another review here because, well, actually, we're just going to play the trailer. And then we're going to go out on it because, you know, we're running out of time. We'll talk about it at the other side of the break. This is Jurassic Park 3D, Steven Spielberg's classic about genetically engineered dinosaurs on a remote island gets a post-conversion 3D treatment.
I own an island off the coast of Costa Rica. I've spent the last 5 years setting up a kind of biological preserve. Dinosaurs and man, two species separated by 65 million years of evolution. How can we possibly have the slightest idea of what to expect?
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer-Kramer.
Hello.
We left on the Jurassic Park 3D trailer. And I have to say, it's been 20 years. It kind of blows my mind it's been 20 years.
I know.
Since Jurassic Park came out.
My husband and I were talking about that before we went to the screening. We're like, how long has it been? I don't know, 15 years maybe? Yeah. 10? No. 20 years. Yeah.
20 years.
I'm not old enough to say that I remember things from 20 years ago.
Oh, pshaw. No, but I have to say, one of the things that was most impressive about this movie, because I've seen it a dozen, I owned this movie on every type of format.
Nice, yep.
I had it on VHS, DVD, I've got it on Blu-ray now. This is probably one of the best 3D conversions I've seen in a long time.
It is pretty good.
It's really good. I mean, at points you almost could believe it was shot in 3D. Just, I think, some of the conversion looked really good. They're really getting
it
down.
It's not a distracting conversion. And a lot of the movies that they convert lately, they get so distracting. You're like, it doesn't look right.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did a really good job with this
They took care with this one. And they did that with Star Wars Episode 1 when they converted that. That looked really good in 3D. Mm-hmm. So I think of course, you've got, like, the masters of cinema working on these things.
Right.
You know, supervising them. You don't have just some, you know, a lot like when they converted that Wes Craven movie, My Soul to Take, which was so bad. But the other thing I found fascinating about it is it shows what depth Spielberg put into his movies. I never thought of Spielberg as actually using a lot of depth in his movies.
Mm-hmm.
But you really see him use a lot of depth in here because, again, they're not like, they're not forcing it to pop out at
right.
you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they've just converted it naturally, and you're like, oh, no, there's a lot of depth in here. There's going in and coming out. And also the effects hold up amazingly.
Yeah. I mean, you look at those dinosaurs, and that is pretty spectacular.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple things where you're like, oh, okay, that looks a little 90s. But, I mean, we're not talking like the alligators in Eraser.
No.
Or anything like that.
This is pretty amazing.
It is really good.
And it's scary. You kind of forget. It's Jurassic Park. It's a fun Spielberg movie. It is a scary movie.
It is actually quite terrifying.
It is scarier than Evil Dead.
When you get into the theater and you've got the the surround sound and you've got the 20-foot tall screen and the Tyrannosaurus just literally just screaming at you.
Oh, yeah.
It's loud and he's in your face. I took my two oldest sons and Ben kind of got freaked out in it.
That doesn't surprise me.
And he's seen it. In fact, this week I was watching the Evil Dead movies, kind of brushing up on them. And I'm watching Evil Dead 2. He wanders in the room about halfway through. He's like, oh, what's this? I go, it's Evil Dead 2. And he's watching it, you know, eyeballs popping out and blood splattering. Didn't have a problem with that. Kind of freaked out at Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Even though he's seen it multiple times. So, yeah. I loved it. I thought it was
great. Oh, yeah. It is nice to see this movie again. I mean, Spielberg has done some good stuff lately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he made Lincoln. I absolutely loved Lincoln, but it's
essentially
nice.
The same movie.
It's pretty close.
Okay.
You know, it's nice to get back to classic Spielberg. When he made movies like this and the Indiana Jones movies, and they were big and adventurous, and they had the score, and, you know, it's just fun.
This is
so much fun to see it again.
This is the last Spielberg movie that has actually had that catchy score from John Williams that you remember.
Yeah.
No one's going to remember. I mean, the Lincoln score is great, but no one's going to remember that score.
That was toned down on purpose.
Yeah. And same thing for, like, you know, Minority Report and Catch Me If You Can and War Horse. Although these are good scores, John Williams was a good musician. He's a good composer, but there's something special about these classic adventures.
When you watch this movie, the music comes and it starts playing and you know every single note of it.
Yep. No, I love this movie. I'm glad to see it in 3D. I don't necessarily want to see The Lost World in 3D.
No.
But this is great.
We can stick with this one. That's fine.
I'm going to say it rocks.
It rocks.
All right. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We're going to talk about Family Weekend next. What's that one about?
Oh, when her entire family misses their regional jump rope competition, a teenage girl kidnaps her parents and forces them into parenting boot camp.
Some people are lucky enough to find their true passion. My passion? It's jumping rope.
I competed in the state regionals today and no one showed up.
Oh, that jump roping thing.
Oh, was that today?
What's next, the Olympic jumping jacks team?
A toast.
Here, here, here.
My parents must be stopped.
This is our only chance to do something about our family.
Kidnapping is a first-degree felony, and I will prosecute.
Tape?
Strange that you're still attempting to talk.
Now, this is an indie film, a smaller one that is only playing in a few markets, so you'll have to look it up to see where it's playing.
Yep.
But what did you think about this one?
It's pretty much house arrest. It's the same story as House Arrest, which was written by Michael Hitchcock from Defiance, Ohio.
There you go.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it is that sort of thing. It's where the girl kind of goes out, you know, not off her rocker, and she kidnaps her parents, basically. Mm-hmm. And the girl, you know, the girl's like 27 years old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but she looks like she's 14.
She does. Mm-hmm. It's creepy. Because I looked her up on the internet because I'm like, I couldn't remember what she was from. She was from High School Musical. Mm-hmm. She played the girl who plays the piano.
Yep.
And so when you look her up, and if you click images, there's like pictures of her in bikinis. You're like, what? Hold on. And then you look at her, oh, she's 27. Well, that's totally fine.
Nice.
Then you search, you know, nude and, you know, breasts and all that good stuff.
Right.
It's 29, 27.
Because that's totally what I do.
That's totally allowed.
That's what I do.
I'm sure you do.
Mm-hmm.
You should.
So anyway, other than...
It'd be really cool if you did.
Other than that...
I thought it was okay. It makes some choices that I wasn't wild about. Like, they bring in extra people that I thought kind of taint
the
story.
Yeah, there are a few characters that didn't need to be in there.
Yeah.
And even in the family, there are a few characters that I could have done without.
Yeah.
The little sister who acts out
all
scenes from
movies.
Completely inappropriate movies. Mm. I could have done without her.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like Kristen Chenoweth plays the mother.
Yeah.
And she is, you know, she's kind of the typical tough, hardworking mom who doesn't pay attention to her kids. You know, you see it over and over again. But there's something about Kristen Chenoweth playing her that you kind of love to hate her.
She's so adorable in everything she does.
Mm-hmm.
Except RV. That was a terrible movie. Why I thought of RV at this moment?
I don't know.
That was a bad movie.
It's just one of those days.
Anyways. No, it was... I mean, and actually, I usually hate Matthew Modine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought he was pretty good.
He wasn't bad. Yep.
And I think there's a certain amount of coherency problems that it has. But I think it works. And it does kind of get a little bit... The big problem with making these movies that are on the surface very... sardonic and biting and at a certain level of satire is then they try and put like heart to them and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, that's tough. You have to commit to it and keep going with it. And yeah in the end it gets a little bit sappy and you're like, yeah, okay, just go on with the fun stuff.
Yeah.
It could have been darker.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there were a lot of little surprises in there that I actually laughed out loud a few times.
There's one part, I don't want to tell you what it is, but it involves the sun, a revelation about the sun.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Just because I know people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you know crazy people and you can see a little bit of people you know in the movie, I think it works on that level.
Yep, I agree.
I'm going to give it a kind of rocks.
I am too. It's kind of rocks.
Oh, okay. We agree on something. Well, we agreed on Jurassic Park.
Yep.
There wasn't as much tongue cutting in this movie as Evil Dead.
It's true. There was not as much blood. There were not as many amputations.
Yeah. I couldn't. Speaking of Evil Dead, I was going to say one other thing. I'm surprised it originally got an NC-17 rating. I'm surprised the screening we saw was not NC-17.
It's true. It's pretty hardcore.
Because holy cow. Do you know that the original Evil Dead's an NC-17 movie?
Really?
Well, it was an X-rated movie. I don't think they ever put it up for rating.
Okay.
Because they knew it was going to, because the censor board was just like, yeah, no.
Yeah. We don't even want to watch that.
Not even starting on that one. Anyways, what do you think is going to win this weekend? Box office. I'll let you throw it out.
You know, I'm going to give it back to G.I. Joe this weekend.
Really?
I am.
At what number?
23.
23. So specific. Let's see. Katie
well,
K.
Well, I didn't want to give it a 25. I thought that was a little too much. And I thought, you know, I think it's going to be tight.
Hmm?
I think Evil Dead's going to be up there. I think it's going to be tight.
I'm going to give it, I'm going to use 25.
Okay.
And I really think it's going to be a horse race between Jurassic Park and Evil Dead. I think Jurassic Park's going to play better than most of the 3D conversions of late.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because, hey, they screened this for everybody.
Yep.
And they made a big deal out of it. It's getting massively good responses.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to say that Jurassic Park 3D is going to make $25 million. Mm-hmm. I think Evil Dead's going to be close, but the R rating and the excessive gore is going to
be. I think this is going to be a tight weekend.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, so me, Jurassic Park 3D, $25 million, you say G.I. Joe at 23. Regardless of who's right, I will be declaring victory next week.
It's true.
And no matter how many...
I'm prepared for it.
Jurassic Park can make $5 million, I'll find a way to declare victory. Because that is the kind of person I am.
It's true.
Anyways, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk DVDs.
Shake that.
We'll be right back.
welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Yes.
We have had some interesting things to talk about this week.
Yes.
We have run the gamut of scary movies and family comedies, and it's been so exciting, hasn't it?
It's been wonderful.
It's been such an exciting show.
Yay.
And now, do you know what time it is?
What time is it?
It is time for our DVD roundup.
That's right. Yeehaw.
Unfortunately, there's nothing to talk about this week.
It is really thin. This week and next week are incredibly thin on
DVDs. It's really sad.
I don't know why.
No. There's no reason for it.
I understand, like, the week after Christmas, it being just, like, the week or two after Christmas
right,
being
yeah.
terrible release. Because no one wants to release DVDs, like, after all the people would buy them.
Right. But it's April. There's no reason not to release stuff now.
Yeah. It's just real thin. But there are some big ones. One of the biggest ones is Marvel Cinematic Collection Phase 1, or Ultimate Universe Phase 1.
I don't know.
Whatever it is, it's the...
Ram-a-lama ding dong.
It's I feel like Bill Cosby tried to sell on... We got the pudding bops in the briefcase with the biddly boodly bop in it. Disney should hire me to do voiceovers for their...
I think they would buy you out and then shut that down.
There would be people going... Where did they get Bill Cosby? That sounds just like Bill Cosby.
I'm sure that's exactly what they
on
say.
Some drunken tirade about pudding bops and biddly bops. If you don't know what this is the briefcase from the Avengers that had the Tesseract in it.
Yes.
It's a replica of the briefcase, and it has 10 discs, which has all 6 Marvel movies leading up to and including the Avengers.
Because, you know, you already own all of them.
Yeah.
And you need to buy the one in the briefcase.
Although I saw somebody, I think he listens to the show. I saw him on Facebook and he made the point, he just got it. He's like, I'm glad I didn't buy the other DVDs and Blu-rays. And I'm like, you know, that guy was smart. That was forward thinking.
Yeah.
You know.
But who knew? Yeah. Who knew that they'd put out this collection?
Well,
they
were going to put it out like 6 months ago. Did you hear about this? What happened with it?
No.
They were going to put it out like 6 months ago, but they didn't get the royalties figure because the guy who designed the briefcase.
Oh, right.
Sued them.
Right.
Because he said, no, you had the right to use it in the movie. You did not have the right to make replicas of it as a collectible.
Nice.
And so they had to get all that. And so they pulled it and they, you know, went back and then.
Because I remember the release about it.
Yeah.
Long, long ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got that in time for Iron Man 3, which comes out next month. But it's also in the interesting time to talk. They dropped the Marvel Phase 2.
Yes.
Look at the new movies.
Big news.
And, you know, here's something that's interesting about it is it teases the movies that are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole bit is they're like, you watch us create the universe. Now we're going to expand it.
Yep.
And they've got movies like Ant-Man, which is Edgar Wright.
Okay.
You know, and that's awesome.
I'll take that.
And you've got Guardians of the Galaxy, and Zoe Saldana just came out and announced that she's going to be in that movie.
Right.
And these are great, because, I mean, I think that's great to do these lesser-known heroes, but I don't know how many people are going to stampede to see Ant-Man, because
it's true.
Not a whole lot of people know who he is. And he doesn't sound as cool as Iron Man.
He's an ant.
Yeah. So, Here's the thing, and I mean, I wish Marvel and Disney the best of luck with this, because I love these superhero movies.
I do, too.
And I love how they tie them together, and I want to see more of them. I don't know if this is going to... You can't expect them to do $300 million each.
No.
You know, even Thor, which is a recognizable name to a degree,
mm-hmm.
his movie didn't make tons of money.
No. Nope. It'll be interesting to see where it ends up, because, you know, these movies could be great.
Yeah.
They could be. I mean, I remember long, long ago before Iron Man came out, and I was skeptical about Iron Man.
Yeah.
So I was like, really? Robert Downey Jr. as a superhero?
Mm-hmm.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. And then I saw it, and I was like, okay, you win.
Yeah, I got it.
So yeah, you never know what they could pull out with this.
Well, and they have all the sequels in there. They've got, you know, Captain America with the Winter Soldier, and you've got Thor 2 in there. And this is great. I mean, the biggest problem Hollywood has is it deals with expectations and not just reality.
It's true.
And if they say, well, after the Avengers, all these movies need to make $600 million.
Yeah,
they're
not
going to. And Guardians of the Galaxy, I believe, has got an August release. It's not a May release like Avengers. So this movie may not do well. And I'm just hoping that Disney keeps things in perspective.
Yeah.
But then again, there's all the, we talked about all the people in overseas who will go see any movie that has,
well, there you go,
has explosions in it. Anyways,
those people overseas who aren't as smart as we think they are.
They're as dumb as we are. That's all there is to it. That's not insulting to them. That's just equalizing the world here.
It's insulting to all of us.
It's the only thing that's insulting to people who are like, oh, I like foreign films. People who say, oh, I like foreign films, haven't seen enough foreign films. It's like people who say, oh, I prefer independent cinema. I'm like, you haven't seen enough independent cinema. Some of that is terrible.
It's true. I'm actually going to a film festival this weekend. So ooh. I will be watching lots of independent cinema and foreign films.
Foreign films.
And I look forward to it, and then I look forward to coming back and watching Splosions.
Splosions! Anyways. There's another one I want to mention on DVDs that came out last week, actually, but I want to cover it here because I missed it last week. Why? I was just really drunk. I'm sorry. But
it's
is
true.
Lego Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Out.
Yes.
Which is, they showed it on Cartoon Network. It's a Lego Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it is this sort of very tongue-in-cheek, not quite a sequel, but sequel to the, it's sort of like what leads into Empire Strikes Back.
I have heard nothing but wonderful things about these Lego Star Wars movies.
They are awesome. Why?
That's what I've heard.
Because they're irreverent. They like make fun of themselves. They have a whole, they have jokes about hand shooting first. And they have just like little inside jokes about the movie and about the production of the film. And like there's my favorite scene is they introduce Darth Maul, who's not in these movies, but you know, he's not in the original.
Right.
But he comes on, they're playing the da, 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 and he starts singing to himself. He's like, I'm awesome. I'm so awesome. And it's so irreverently hilarious. And it's like 22 minutes long. It comes and it goes. And it's what's cool is the packaging, because they did this with the Padawan Menace.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little Lego figurine, a little Star Wars Lego figurine.
Nice.
And it's Darth Vader. And you can take his helmet off. He's got a scarred face.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really fun. Well, my kids and I watched it. I watched that Darth Maul introduction probably about 5 times. It was awesome. So, yeah, check that out if you haven't seen it. It's very cute. And it's got a toy in it, too.
Even better.
There's also John Dies at the End, which I haven't seen.
I haven't either.
Spoiler alert, John dies at the end. But
that's true.
That's Don Coscarelli's mind-bending, weird, otherworldly thing about people who take drugs and then they come back as aliens. It sounds very Cronenberg-y.
And there you have it.
I kind of want to see this.
I do, too.
I didn't get my request in. Oh, maybe I did. I'll have to get on a magnet about that. Then there's the Bible. I don't know if you've heard of this book. It's called The Bible.
Mm. Is that by the same author as The Host?
God, I hope not. There's a lot less internal monologue. Let's just put it this way. The Bible is a lot less wordy than Stephanie Meyer's movies.
Nice.
But now you don't have to read the Bible. Of course, they could have done this before Easter. But you don't have to read the Bible. Now see the movie.
They just played the miniseries.
Yeah.
So
it's the release of the miniseries.
They had
the epic miniseries.
The epic miniseries.
That's what it's called.
And they had the Easter episode on Easter. So, you know, you can't release it until after that.
Was there a rabbit in it? It sounds like the Easter special. And there's the stone rolls back and Jesus wakes up. He's like, oh, man, I'm so tired. I've been asleep for 3 days. And here comes the bunny rabbit hopping in, throwing eggs at him. And he's like, what the? And then he, like, punches him in the face, and he pulls out his lightsaber. I may not be paraphrasing this story exactly as it occurs in the Bible.
I give up.
Anyways, no need to read the book now. The miniseries is on DVD and Blu-ray. There's also a couple sort of catalog releases. You've got That Thing You Do.
Yes.
Which is not me making a pass at you, Kristen, because I know you're married and you got a kid and everything. That's the Tom Hanks movie about the not Fifth Beagle. Beagle? Beetle?
Beagle?
Beagle?
It's about a beagle? Because I totally missed that. That must have been an underlying theme in this movie that I didn't catch the first time around. I'm going to have to watch it again.
And then Hello Dolly is out on
Barbra Streisand.
Yeah, Barbra Streisand completely. Well, it's funny because Carol Channing kind of made that role her own in the 80s on Broadway and off-Broadway or Broadway tours. But it's really not. It's meant to be played. It's played more like Barbra Streisand does.
There you go.
Than Carol Channing did. So you have those. Those are available. Stinker of the Week is The Killing, season 2. Did you ever watch The Killing?
I didn't. I heard enough about it that I avoided it.
It's so bad. It makes The Walking Dead look like the fastest moving, cheerfulest TV show
nice.
Ever. Makes The Walking Dead look like Full House.
Hmm.
So that's The Killing.
Uncle Joey.
Don't get that one. Hey. No, whoa. No, is that even though that was the wrong one? That's, bro, that's... What am I thinking?
We are
That's
all
awesome.
Over the place.
Holy
okay.
cow.
Nice.
We need to end this now.
That's
Evil
a different
Dead.
Joey.
I said it rocked, and Kristen said it was even better than that. No, Kristen said it kind of sucked.
Kind of sucks.
Jurassic Park 3D, we both said rocked. Family Weekend, we both said it kind of rocked.
Yep.
Next week, we're going to talk 42 and Scary Movie 5.
Bye. See ya.